Welcome to Faces of Divorce, the podcast where we explore the profound impact of parental separation and divorce through the eyes of those who lived through it, whether as children, adults, or professionals. Each week, we share compelling stories and expert insights that shed light on the challenges and triumphs of navigating divorce. The goal is to divorce different. No trauma. No more trauma in the divorce process, empowering our community even in the face of divorce. In each episode, we sit down with individuals who have experienced divorce firsthand and hear how these experiences have shaped their lives. We delve into their personal journeys, discuss the emotional and practical effects, and explore how they've navigated their path to healing and growth. We'll also be joined by professionals, therapists, counselors, and other experts who offer valuable advice on how to approach divorce in a way that minimizes trauma and fosters understanding. Thank you for tuning in to Faces of Divorce, whether you're seeking support, insight, or simply a better understanding of how to navigate this difficult terrain, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Jadina Ingusta, but you can call me Attorney J.
Dana Belflair. And I'm going to let her explain what her last name means. Okay. And give us a little bit more. I know that she planned to visit all of the 51 states and countries. Not countries, right?
About 51 and states and as many countries
as possible. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm going to let Dana tell us a little bit more about herself, but she needs to tell us how many states she's already visited and how many countries. Welcome, Dana,
Thank
to
you.
Faces of Divorce.
Thank you. I'm so, so excited to be here. So how many states I've been to? I stopped counting after like 21.
Wow.
I definitely have been to 21 states. And honestly, I feel like I've hit all of them except some of them on the West Coast.
Okay.
So like Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon. Like, these are places I want to go. But for the most part, I've been to every state and D.C. and some U.S. territories, too.
I know that's right. I said travel extraordinaire, so yes. And how many countries have you visited?
So I also stopped counting countries.
What?
The last I checked, I think I was at 27. And I've added a few since then, and I stopped counting. But yeah,
what?
I visited a lot of countries. I should count, but then it's like, do I keep a list? Do I have to start the count every time? I'm like, all right.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe I should count continents.
Let's count the continents. Yes. Okay. And you've already been on multiple continents, right?
Yeah. So
I think you've probably hit
I think the only two. Is Greenland a continent? A continent?
No, it's
I should know the seven continents.
I know. We definitely should know.
Cut this part out.
I should definitely know all of the continents. But I know you've been to South America, you've been to North America, you've been to Africa,
Europe. I've been to Asia, but only because Istanbul actually sits on two continents.
Oh,
so the European side and the Asian side. So technically, I've been to Asia, but I plan to visit something like a country specifically in Asia so it can fully count.
All right. So awesome. All right, so you know the conversation that we are going to have and what we have on Faces of Divorce is primarily talking to adults who were children of divorce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
All right. So to start off, what do you do now?
Yeah, so now I am in finance. I work for an asset management firm where essentially I work with financial advisors, and I educate them and sell them on our investment products.
Okay.
So I remember when I was younger, I always said, I want a job that allows me to dress up and look good, talk to people, and make money. And thankfully, I'm living out that dream.
Look at that.
So I'm very happy
look
about
at
that.
Dream fulfilled. Yes. God is good.
Yes, he is.
God is good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what age were you when your parents got divorced?
Yeah, so I was 6 years old when it happened. Very young.
And do you remember
that
time? Do you
recall. Mm. What I do remember is a lot of fighting. I remember a lot of yelling. So it's a blur, but I do remember just like the constant fights. Mm. I do remember that.
And when you say the constant fights, would you know when it was about to happen? Like, did you know when it was going to come on? Meaning, the person comes home. Is it usually on the weekend, during the day? Like, was there a pattern to it?
When they would fight?
Yes.
It was often. Okay. When so my dad came home, they were fighting. Mm. They were fighting. It was often. Okay. I don't think there was a pattern that I realized.
Okay. Now, when it would happen or during arguments, how would you feel generally?
Mm-hmm. I think as a child, I didn't have the language for it.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, I realized that it was a lot of anxiety around it. It was frustrating. It was loud. Uh-huh. It was a little bit confusing, right? Because you love both parents and you want them to be happy.
Yes.
But then when they're in the same space, it's a fight.
Mm.
So there was confusion, there was anxiety, there was frustration, like, okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
So I think those were like the core feelings of it. And I think at some point it became a norm, right?
Okay.
Like, it's to be expected. Again, it is a blur, but I imagine if they went a week and there wasn't fighting and yelling and even sometimes physical abuse, you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, something's off. Mm-hmm. Did you ever find yourself trying to prevent it, like prevent arguments? What are some ways that you did that?
Absolutely. So I remember one time my dad came home, and honestly, I don't remember what they were fighting about, right? It's kind of like that Maya Angelou quote that talks about, like, you won't remember what someone said, but you'll remember how you felt.
Yes.
So my dad comes in and they are, I'm talking, at the top of their lungs.
Yes.
Yelling. And at that time, we lived in a very small, I think it was a studio. It was tight, right? So it's not like I can go in my room and put a pillow over my head. Like, it's happening in front of me.
Yes.
And I remember, I'm like, I got in the middle of them and I put my hand out, you know, like kind of stopping traffic.
Yes.
I'm like, you guys, stop, stop, stop.
Okay.
And I remember my dad kind of like snapping out of it. He's like, oh, baby. Like, he kind of hugged me, right? He's like, okay, maybe we should bring it down.
Yes.
And my mom's reaction was like, girl, get out of here. Like, I'm upset. I have things to say. Like, go sit down. Adults are talking. That was the reaction when I did try to stop it.
Okay, and after that, did you ever try again? Or?
That's a great question. I don't remember. Mm. I do remember that distinct moment and how they had totally different reactions.
Okay.
I don't remember if I stepped in multiple times.
Okay, but that one is
stood out.
Okay,
I remember that.
It's etched in your brain, that experience.
I remember sitting like this.
Oh,
I remember
6-year-old
self. Like, girl,
to
do not get hurt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, do you have any siblings?
I do. So I have a younger sister who's 4 years younger than me. It's just the two of us by the same parents.
Okay, so, and she's how much years?
4 years younger.
Okay, so she was two.
Mm-hmm.
So she wouldn't really have that experience.
Interestingly
and
enough,
had a conversation.
We've never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never asked her, like, hey, do you remember when our parents lived together, how tumultuous it was?
Mm.
Interestingly enough, and I'm sure if I were to ask her, her memories probably started after the divorce and separation.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to ask her because I want to know.
That is, because I think, obviously, we're not psychologist, psychiatrist, or anything like that. But it would be important to know and find out how young do you start remembering those things. And especially the word that you use, you said tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than just saying it was annoying, right?
Right?
That's more than just saying I didn't like it. I wish that it would just stop so that I can watch my TV show.
Right.
But tumultuous seems like it's more of an impact, more when we start talking about something that's a little more traumatic over time.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I never thought of it as trauma either.
Yes.
Because, again, it just became a norm, but a norm that didn't feel good, if that makes
sense. But you
sense.
Knew that, so it wasn't something to be accepted,
right.
But it was something that you expected because...
Yes, perfect. You should put that on a shirt.
I should put that on a shirt.
No,
don't take it.
That's
exactly.
It.
Gonna copyright it.
Copyright it, yes. But exactly.
Okay. So another thing, So I know the time that you said you tried to come in the middle, mm-hmm. but was there any other ways, like in school? How was school for you during that time?
I think school was fine. I was a great student. I think school was fine. I don't remember acting out or being upset mm-hmm. or any of that. Honestly, my one core memory that doesn't have to do with my parents fighting or even their actual separation is at that time before I went to school, so maybe like four and a half, uh-huh. my dad, when he got home, yes. he would have me sit down at the dining room table and write my name. Okay, my dad is okay. not a teacher, okay? He is very patient. Yes. I love my dad. He's very, like, chill. Uh-huh. But he could not understand why I couldn't write these four letters. So his patience is thin. Okay, so I do remember one time he was pulling up, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this tonight. So I, like, ran to the bed, uh-huh. faked like I was sleeping, and my uh-huh. mom helped me. She's like, okay, you can just go to bed. So I remember that.
Yes.
But other than that, I think school was fine. I was talkative, but... I'm a talker, so I don't know the impact their divorce and separation had on me.
Okay, so it wasn't, so let's try to identify it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Was there ever prior to and then during that time where now they're calling home? Or they're saying there's an issue, Dana's being disruptive or anything like that?
No, and the only reason I say that is because by the time I was in school, like, we had already, they were already not together.
Oh, okay.
If that makes sense. Okay. Like, maybe I started school at, like, 5 or 6, and I don't remember that time. But by first grade, my parents did not live in the same home. First or second grade, they weren't in the same home.
Okay, so you had already, so mm-hmm. it was prior to, and then the start of school.
Mm-hmm.
It was, okay, mm-hmm. okay. So, when we talk about social okay. impact, mm-hmm. so did you find anyone or anything as an outlet?
Maybe school was my outlet, I would think. Because, again, I'm not trying to brag like I'm super smart, but...
if you're super smart, you're super smart.
I'm not trying to, but I know I did do very well. So I was born in Haiti, so yes. Creole is my first language. Oh. But I never went to school in Haiti.
Okay.
But at home, I was speaking Creole. So when I went to school in the kindergarten and first grade,
yes.
I had to take like an English learners.
Yeah, so is it ESOL?
Yes,
for speakers of other languages.
Like yes, exactly.
Speakers of other languages.
Exactly. Yes. So I was enrolled in with my regular first grade class, but then in the afternoons, I would spend an hour with someone else helping me. Okay. And I advanced very quickly. Mm. So in the first grade, I remember that was like the last time I took the ESOL classes.
Yes.
And they called my parents in like, hey, we might need to test her to see if she's gifted.
Okay,
right, so
okay.
by second grade, I was enrolled in gifted classes because they're like, mm-hmm. clearly, you know.
So you are super smart.
But maybe that was the impact. Maybe that was my outlet. Like, child, let me read some words because I need to express it some way, I guess.
Yeah, and that's something because we know just naturally, even now, you know how we say when you're mad or you're sad or you're highly emotional, mm-hmm. there's some people that eat, there's some people that read, there's some people that clean.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different ways. And then when we have our professional psychiatrists and mm-hmm. therapists and stuff, they'll probably give us a little bit more about how we could delve into that.
Okay.
All right. So with being 6, so you navigated by the time you were 6 or 7, they're mm-hmm. no longer in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But how was the dynamic with now having your parents in 2 different houses?
Yeah. I was actually one of the kids who, I was happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not happy like, yes, they separated, right?
Yes.
I'm sure every child wants their parents together.
Yes.
But I was happy about it because the fighting was just too much. Mm. You know, it got to a point where you're like, or I was like, all right, let's wrap this up. Wrap this up. The constant fighting and arguing, it's just, it was too much. So even the way it happened, and I didn't learn about this until I was way older, right? Like at the time we were like staying with a friend, like they had an extra space. We stayed with them.
Yes.
So finally my dad made the decision to move us out into an actual apartment of our own.
Yes.
And that's how it happened. I don't know if they ever had a full conversation like,
oh, wow.
Hey, this is ending.
Yes.
We should sit the children down and tell
uh-huh.
them. Right. I think it was like, okay, get your stuff out. I'm going to help you move. He moved everything in. And
okay.
then I guess he got his own spot Like, I don't even really know how it worked out, but yes. That's how it was explained to me. There was never a formal conversation between the two. Mm-hmm. So there definitely wasn't a conversation with me and my sister.
Mm. Now, did you visit your father at his house, or would he just mainly come to?
So I saw my dad pretty consistently. He lived 10 minutes from us. Picked us up from school, dropped us off to school. So I saw him multiple times a week. I spent weekends with him. And on the weekends, I would go to his house. Yes. But for the most part, he came to our house. Like, my mom would still cook and we'd all eat up with Homer.
Really? Yeah. Hold on, wait. I want to skip over this part. There's two things I want to skip over.
Yeah.
But so now that they're out of the house, mm-hmm. they're not together,
mm-hmm.
your mother would still cook.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and everyone sit down and eat like a family.
Sit down and eat like a family. I don't think like you see on a TV show.
Okay,
right?
So not that.
But meaning, we would eat together.
Okay, but what about the environment of arguing? How did that change?
Off and on.
Okay.
Off and on. So
but there it wasn't as frequent.
It wasn't as frequent.
Was it as, how do we say it? Was it as high? Was it as tenuous?
Mm-hmm.
The conversations after they were in two separate homes?
So it went in, or came in waves, I should say.
Okay.
So there were some seasons where they were cool.
Okay.
I don't know if they were friends, but they weren't fighting. My mom would call him like, hey, I made dinner. If you want to come over, I have food for you to go, or you can sit at the table with us.
Yes.
There were seasons where I remember them like physically fighting.
Mm.
But I only remember one
After.
Only one instance of them like fighting and arguing. And then there were seasons where they did not talk at all.
Okay.
So, again, I was a child, so I don't know what adult conversations they were having.
Yes.
So I guess if they had a good conversation and they were fine, then all was well.
Yes.
And if something was said that the other party didn't like, then they were fighting. I would see it. So it came in waves, and even now it's in waves, right? Like, they'll go years, and I'm like, you just got off the phone with my dad? Like, what are y'all talking about? Right? Yes. But then there's other times where it's like, oh, I'm not talking to him. You call him and tell him X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's become a pattern where it's just like, okay, like what's the mood today? I'll adjust.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that I wanted to go back to, and then I'm going to explain why I want to go back to that part, because you mentioned, and this is your 6-year-old self,
mm-hmm.
because just to remind everyone why we're having this conversation, and it's called Faces of Divorce, because during the divorce process, yes, there's the two individuals that's getting divorced. We have to remember that there are other individuals that's impacted, and one of the most important phase is the children
mm-hmm.
that are a part of it, and hearing from an adult who had the experience of being a child through it. You mentioned that I was like, can we just get this over with
mm-hmm.
by now?
Mm-hmm.
That's not usual, because we usually hear, oh my gosh, are they gonna leave? Just stay together.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to stay? I mean, now your sister was too little, so you couldn't do any plans with her.
Right.
But you were not of that mindset.
Mm-mm.
You actually wanted it to end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, do you attribute that to your personality even now as an adult, or because of how bad it was then?
Mm. I think it's a mixture of both, right? And I haven't thought about this in depth.
Yeah.
So this is the first time I'm actually thinking about it. But something else that just came to mind
mm-hmm.
is the fact that I did not live with my parents for 2 years.
Oh.
Okay. So my parents had me.
Yes.
2 years later, they moved to the U.S. I stayed back.
In Haiti. So you're in Haiti. Okay.
Mm-hmm. At 4 years old,
yes.
I moved to the U.S. with them.
Oh.
So there were two years I did not live with them.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And then when I get here from 4 to 6, you guys mm-hmm. are doing all of this fighting.
Oh.
And it's like, I'm already not, it's not like I'm so accustomed to seeing you guys in love.
Yes.
And now it's this disruptive change.
Mm.
So I think that could have played a role in it. Whereas, had I been with them all 6 years,
yes.
it would have been a completely different reaction. So I think that played a role. I've never thought about this until just now. So I think that played a role. But then
mm-hmm.
also, like, personality, just the way I handle things.
Yeah.
If something becomes too much, where it's a headache, it's causing me stress,
mm-hmm.
I think we just, like, what's the capacity? What do I have grace for?
Okay.
I don't have the grace for it. Let's have some peace.
Okay. Okay, because I only say that because I do know Dana personally over the years. And I recognize, so just my own observation of
mm-hmm.
your personality. One, you are someone that likes to understand what's going on around you. you will ask every question necessary to truly understand. Even if the person that you're asking is now annoyed, they feel like I've exhausted all of my answers, you want to know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. You're someone who is not just quick to be done, but you really get into it so that you can make a clear decision.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
So that's why I say that because there may be parents that's looking at like, well, what things can I look at in my child's personality to know how they'll respond? Now, obviously, we can't diagnose that, but there are similarities, right? There are people that are, we call them A-type. We call B type. The C's are just more chill, relaxed, whatever comes. A-type want to be in control. Mm-hmm. And you would classify yourself as more A-type, right?
Attorney J is classifying me as A-type. I think people do. I think, I'm probably more A-type.
Okay. So meaning that even as a child, you're a little bit more intelligent, mature in processing something that's good, something that's right, and being attentive. I'll say that. Mm-hmm. I'll say that as a child because I remember you as a child. So just being a little bit more attentive. So those are things that we would want to think about. So now as an adult, how do you feel that you have reacted or responded subconsciously or consciously to your parents' divorce and the way, meaning that environment that led to the divorce?
So before I answer that, I want to go back to the comment you made about parents assessing their child's personality.
Yes.
I think no matter what your child's personality is, there is an impact. Mm-hmm. There will be scars left behind. Yeah. Even if they're handling it well, the people that made you who... I don't know. It's some kind of innate thing. Maybe God created us this way.
Yes.
I think every child believes their parents should be together.
Yes.
So if you make the decision to separate from your partner, your husband, your wife, whatever, it's going to impact the child, no matter if they're mature or intelligent.
Yes.
I would also say that I'm sure maybe it's a cultural thing, being of Haitian descent.
Yeah.
A lot of Haitians just kind of think like, oh, you're a child. I don't need to explain anything to you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
but kids are, and even now, looking at 3-4-year-old children, they're very in tune into what's going on.
Yes.
So I do think a conversation is necessary, even if you think maybe they don't realize it. They don't hear when we're fighting. Kids always know. They feel it. The environment is different. They can tell when you may not be yelling and fighting, but you have a cold shoulder. You're short with your partner when usually you're not. It's like, okay, what's going on? And you don't have to explain every fight, but I think you have to set a standard.
Yes.
Right? So they know, like, something has changed, but we'll be okay. Right? We still love you. This is not your fault. It's not because you had a rough day at school. It's not because you can't write the 4 letters of your name. Like, there's always an impact, and kids always know. So I think you need to be able to have that conversation, no matter what their personality type is.
Yes, that's a good point.
And I do wish... Like, even now, I wish that we were able to afford or even have the knowledge of bringing in professional help.
Mm.
Because as a parent, maybe you don't know how to have that conversation, right? You're figuring things out. I'm sure as you're going through this, you don't really want the outcome that's coming probably, or you don't know how to navigate it. Loop in a professional where it makes sense to help you have that conversation. So that's what I would say about children's personalities and how to have it. If you're scared, do it scared, essentially.
But you're right. It needs to be done. There should be some conversation because the thing that you said, we do find a lot. And being a family law attorney, representing clients, and representing clients who were children of divorce, the one thing that they say is that I just had to assess it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like maybe it was my fault. Mm-hmm. I felt like maybe... I could do, if I shifted something, then maybe they'll stay together.
Correct.
So that's why the conversation is important.
Very important.
So what I want to ask is, what about now as an adult? Have you guys had the conversation as an adult about how the divorce impacted you?
Yeah. So I've had conversation with my parents, but not exactly about how it's impacted me.
Yes.
I'm now asking them questions like, you know, how did you two decide to marry one another? Mm-hmm. Do you regret the fact that you married each other? If you could go back, would you do it again? Different questions like that, and not together. I I would ask them this individually. And I guess your question is, how has it impacted me as an adult?
Yes. So the decisions that you've made, and mm-hmm. like either subconsciously, mm-hmm. if you've thought about it, if you mm-hmm. haven't, this is just like a little moment to think about it. But if you have thought about that subconsciously and consciously, how has that reflected in your life? We can speak specifically. Mm-hmm. What about dating? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you feel this had any impact at all? Yeah. Any impact at all in dating?
Yeah. So you and I talked about this briefly a few months ago, yes. and our conversation allowed me to think about it deeper. And since yes. then, it's also helped me to ask my parents just questions about their childhood and okay. the impact it's had on them. I say for me, it impacted me in a way where I'm very no-nonsense. Very no-nonsense. I think it's a personality thing, but it also has created a sort of shell when it comes to dating. Mm. And a big part of that is for years, even after my parents separated, divorced, my mom still held a loyalty to my dad that I did not understand. And for years, I'm just like, well, why aren't you dating somebody mm-hmm. else? You know, yeah. I'm like, girl, get you another man. You know, I used to joke with my friends uh-huh. and my sister. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need my mom to get a man because she is like all over me. Uh-huh. Jokingly, but I do think that maybe a sort of resentment or even confusion as to why are you loyal to this man who you're no longer with? Mm-hmm. So as a result, it's given me a level of self-confidence when it comes to dating mm-hmm. so that I don't accept any type of behavior. But I yeah. do think that it's built a wall as well, right? Mm. Like, I want to make sure that if I'm going to be with you, clearly loyalty runs in my blood.
Okay? Yes. That's a good one.
I want to be loyal to the right person. So I think that's the biggest way that it has impacted me.
Okay. So when you say a wall, mm-hmm. you know, a wall could be a good thing mm-hmm. or it could be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So an honest
yes.
assessment.
Okay.
Okay. Are you dating right now?
No.
Okay. Have you ever been engaged?
No.
Ever married?
No.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Single
so
as
let's do a honest assessment if you can, if, mm-hmm. if you could think that far. And do you think that some of the relationships mm-hmm. or possibility of them mm-hmm. did not go forward because of your view or because of this wall that was created due to the divorce?
Maybe, in a way. I think I have really specific values mm-hmm. that I'm not double-minded about.
Okay.
With the biggest one being with a man of faith. And I remember my grandma when I was younger.
Yes.
She, and I don't know even know why this conversation, I don't remember the context in which she said it, what the situation was, but she always told me, like, you need to make sure you're with a man who really loves God because you don't want to be like your mom. Mm. It's a comment.
And she would say it directly.
She said it to me, right.
Oh, wow.
My mom wasn't around. She was babysitting me. But what I took from that is, excuse me, mm-hmm. what I took from that is my mom was very devout as well okay. in her faith growing yes. up. She married my dad who was a good man and still yes. is a good man, but he's not devout in his faith.
Okay.
So she made concession for that. And mm. I looked at it as, ooh, if you had stuck to really being with a man who values the Lord, like, and I'm not saying two Christians together immediately leads to a lifelong marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can't say that. I think, like, maybe he would have had a different approach. Maybe you would have had a different approach and you would see success in your marriage. So I think, like, the wall is, if a man is not serious about his relationship with God, I'm not going to waste my time because I've seen what can happen. I don't think it lasts based on my personal experience. So I would say that's the biggest impact. No nonsense. And you have to be a believer because I just think you have a different level of grace and understanding, and your value system is outside of how much you love me.
Yes.
In order for things to work. Does that make sense?
No, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. It goes in line with me as well, because, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I'm a believer,
yep.
the Trinity, everything, mm-hmm. and my husband is as well, and that really would have been a deal breaker
yeah.
if he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because it's already something bringing two people together. and then now trying to make you understand my faith.
Right.
We have two different faiths, so no, that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. How do you think your parents' divorce has, you don't have children yet,
not yet.
But do you think of parenthood?
I do think about parenthood, but I think of my future marriage more in terms of their divorce.
Okay. And in which way? What way?
And what I mean by that is I know that I want to be married. Right.
Okay.
I know that.
Yes.
I think about what could they have done different to avoid divorce.
Mm.
And as children, we pick up our parents' habits subconsciously.
Exactly. Yep.
Right, without even realizing it. So I'm like, what am I picking up from either of my parents that's not even present yet because
yes.
I don't have marriage for it to be fully exposed that mm-hmm. can negatively impact my marriage, right?
And you know how we say analysis paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that also has been an impact in why you're not in a relationship right now?
Do I think... The reason...
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to, but if you have an answer, then that's fine, because I was just going to try to clarify, but you have
okay.
an answer.
I was going to say, the only reason I say no is because I haven't met anyone who has passed the first test for me even
yes.
to see, like, okay, Dana, are you being too strict on this, or give yourself more grace, right?
Yes.
Because I think I have a different context from my parents. I grew up in a different generation, a different culture. I don't know if my parents saw healthy marriages, but I'm surrounded by healthy marriages, right? Exhibit A over here.
Uh-huh.
I have so many friends who are married that I
yes.
ask them questions. I'm very serious. Like I heard a while ago that marriage and parenthood are the two things that you don't have an actual manual for.
Yep.
Right? You're just figuring it
right.
out as you go. And so many of us spend little time being a student of it,
mm-hmm.
where I think I put in a lot of work of being a student.
Oh, okay.
So I don't believe that my analysis would lead to paralysis. I do think, though, you have to pass the basics
in order to even
get there.
To this side.
Like, we don't even need to assess.
Marriage and parenthood. Yes.
Am I a nagger? Because you don't love God anyway, so I won't nag you.
Exactly.
We have nothing to talk about. So there's that.
There's that.
Yeah, there's that.
All right. So for parents that are watching, because
mm-hmm.
the goal is we got to divorce different.
Yeah.
We do not want to think about saying that, you know, we're doing this for the community. We're doing this for our children. We want to leave a lasting legacy.
Mm-hmm.
But when things fall apart, we now become enemies, right?
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
So for a parent that's watching
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to understand, I have children. We're married. I have children. But I know that this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
What's a message as a child of divorce that you think they should have? And this is just your personal message to them, not a universal message,
mm-hmm.
but your personal message to that parent who has that question.
Who they're asking the question of, what should they ask?
I have
them?
Children.
Okay.
So they do have minors. So they have the 6-year-old,
mm-hmm.
the 4-year-old, the 7-year-old. And they're either one saying that I don't even know if I should get divorced because I have these children,
mm-hmm.
but it can be the same thing, that it's tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
There's the arguing, there's the bickering, there's, like you said, the cold shoulder.
Right.
So what message would you tell them on the impact
mm-hmm.
that could possibly be happening with their children right now?
Yeah.
Because we can't advise them on staying together or anything like that. So
right.
I wasn't
right.
wanting to go to that at all.
Right.
But just that child who can't speak because,
uh-huh.
you know, of a lot of different circumstances, they can't talk towards a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But you, now being an adult, hindsight is 20/20,
right.
what you can say to that person who's probably saying yes to tumultuous
mm-hmm.
because of children and not knowing what a child may be thinking right now.
Mm. I think I would repeat the sentiment of what I said earlier, which is the scars will be there. Regardless, right? No matter if you divorce well, if you don't divorce at all, if you divorce poorly, the scars will be there. But I think you can decrease how much they hurt or how many scars by really having a conversation. Because I think the impact of figuring it out on your own, the impact of, I do love my parents and I want them happy, but I don't think they're happy together.
Mm.
It takes up a lot of mind space. You don't get to be a child. So I do feel like I matured a little bit quicker.
Yes.
So I would say the impact is there. Have the conversation and include them as much as you can. And I would say just not switching up the routine. Right? I think that can be like if every Tuesday as a family we eat pizza together, even in the divorce, like or as you're divorcing, keep that going on because it lets your kids know it's not your fault. Right? If you switch up the routine, it kind of feels like I'm being punished because of decisions you two made.
Yes.
Right? So it's like keep the routine as much as possible and like, hey, our family dynamic is changing, but
Yes.
our love for you is not. We still love you. And then give your kids agency, right? When you see your parents fighting and you don't know what's going on and you know, you get in between them and you tell them like, guys, stop fighting, and you're not saying like, hey, how do you feel about this? I know we were
Yes.
fighting last night and you heard us. Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have an answer in the moment, but keep that door open. You can talk to us whenever. We're not mad at you.
Exactly.
We're not angry with you. Just
Probably
constant.
more confused than mad, right?
Exactly. So constant reinsurance, I think, would be really helpful in reducing the negative impact. But don't be scared of the fact that there's going to be scars because there will be, unfortunately. It's just a reality.
And do you feel that you have closure about your parents' divorce?
I do have closure now. If
Yes.
you had asked me years ago, the answer would have been yes. Like,
Yeah.
it wasn't a thought. I'm like, I told you, I was happy I could go to sleep without y'all fighting. It was great. But I think now that I've asked them questions about their marriage, their divorce, are you happier now? Do you miss each other? I now have closure in that I don't have a fear of repeating what my parents did. Because I did have that fear, right? Like, okay, I don't remember the statistic, but I read that children of divorced parents have a higher likelihood of divorcing.
Yes.
So one requirement that I subconsciously had
Yes.
was marrying someone who came from a loving two-parent household.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, I already know the odds I'm bringing to the table. You can't bring it too,
Oh,
you
wow.
know?
Look at
So
that.
that was a
That's
subconscious
powerful.
fear that I had. And now, again, because I've been a student of relationship,
Yes.
because like the Lord has been gracious and like maturing me, I'm now like, if we can agree now that we're gonna love each other and we're not trying to figure out what the end result will be together and we're gonna love
Yes.
God, I think we will be okay.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Thank you so much,
Thank
Dana,
you.
for sharing about your experience because that is, it requires transparency. We don't know who's gonna see this or open it
Right.
up to the world, but
Yeah.
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you that I didn't cry. I thought I was gonna cry.
Yes.
So at the beginning, you had said you'd let me explain what my last name means.
Oh,
And I want to comment on it because, one, I always tell my dad, like, I just love him for giving us this last name. I love my last name. I'm like, good job, Dad. Good job. That's one. And then, two, my parents don't have sons. And I know when I get married, I'm going to take on my husband's last name. So I'm like,
Yes.
dang, it kind of feels like a dying breed. But my last name is Bellefleur, which is French and translates to beautiful flower. And I strongly believe that your name, like, it's part of who you are. And
Yes.
I think I've walked into that, just like being a beautiful flower. You see the evidence.
You are a
Okay.
beautiful flower.
Thank you. Thank you.
You always
Appreciate
have been.
it. I appreciate it. So I really appreciate the opportunity, even starting the conversation months ago
Yes.
off camera, really understanding your heart behind Divorce Like a Boss.
Yes.
It has helped me to mature in ways I didn't think I needed to, but it's been really rewarding. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes. Because it has been 9 months in the making,
Yeah.
like a whole baby birth. And we wanted you to be the
Yeah.
first person.
Wow.
We
Wow.
wanted you to be the first interview. And we did not do another one until we had you. So
Wow.
thank you
I'm
so
honored.
much.
Thank you.
You're awesome. And everyone can see now why. It was worth the wait. It was worth the wait. Thank you so much. That's Dana Bellflower, and this is Faces of Divorce.